This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. A village corporation in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta wants Calista Corporation shareholders to vote on whether Calista should support the proposed Donlin Gold Mine. Calista owns the mineral rights to the mine. The village corporation's president says the resolution isn't a stance on the mine, but it would give shareholders a chance to decide if they want it. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has the story.
Lauren Peterson describes the resolution as pragmatic.
When it's a controversial issue like this and you have a corporation that's designed to develop and make money, we think that there should be some pause in this whole situation and take a look at the mission and the values of the corporation.
Peterson heads Azazarik, a village corporation in Mountain Village on the Yukon River. The mine would be built near the Kuskokwim River further south. The resolution is inspired partly by what happened at the Association of Village Council Presidents annual convention in September. There, delegates voted overwhelmingly to rescind a 2006 resolution supporting the mine. Under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Native corporations are tasked with two goals: maintaining the traditional way of life and promoting economic development. Peterson says sometimes those goals can conflict.
Yeah, it can bring a lot of capital to the corporation, and we could see some economic development and jobs in the region. However, at the same time, the Donlin Creek development may impact subsistence and our subsistence resources that we value.
But the Azazarik resolution doesn't take a stance on the Donlin mine. Peterson says the corporation sees both sides. In fact, under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Azazarik would receive some of the mine's profits. Peterson says the resolution advocates for the shareholders who live closest to the mine to have a voice on whether it's built.
If it's a bad development and in the aftermath, the fault isn't necessarily on the corporation. And, you know, a more democratic approach to where the shareholders that own the shares of the corporation and live on the land and participate in hunting and fishing, they should have a say.
More than 300 female Calista shareholders made a similar argument in a petition they sent the corporation earlier this year. They expressed concerns over the mine's possible impact to the Kuskokwim River, the region's main food source. KYUK reached out to Calista for comment on the resolution last week and has not received a response. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
The deadline to report the outcome of your Kuskokwim moose hunt has arrived. If you received a permit to harvest a moose in Zone 2 of the Kuskokwim's RM615 hunt and never got a moose, today is the last day to report that information. But no matter what the outcome or zone of your hunt, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game wants to know how it went. Biologists are relying on this information more, as warming winters make other survey tools less reliable. You can report your moose hunt by mailing in the information on your permit, calling the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, or going online to hunt.alaska.gov. Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Patrick Jones says the information helps the state manage the hunt.
Whether you went hunting or not, whether you're successful or not, that's all useful in us in determining how much time we have next year and how we're going to give permits out.
Jones encourages all hunters who receive Kuskokwim moose hunt permits to report the outcome of their hunt as soon as possible. Fish and Game will send the names of permit holders who do not report to Alaska State Troopers. It's possible that the permit holders could receive citations and be ineligible to receive a moose or caribou hunt permit next year. This season, the state issued its usual amount of Kuskokwim moose hunt permits, about 1,500 for Zone 1 and Zone 2.
Zone 1's the Kuskokwim main stem, and basically from just below Kalskag all the way down to Eek. It includes everything on the, you know, the north side, including the Gallic and the Gweek rivers. Zone 2 is the tributaries on the south and east side of the Kuskokwim, so that's the Tulooksack, Asiglik, Gezeralik, Kweethluk, and Eek rivers. And it's actually quite a ways up all those tributaries, closer to the mountains.
Fish and Game hoped hunters would take 180 moose from Zone 1 and 100 moose from Zone 2. Jones expects that they fell short of that goal in both areas. Stormy weather in early September kept some hunters from getting out in Zone 1. Low water in the Kuskokwim tributaries prevented hunters from reaching the moose in Zone 2. Jones says reaching the harvest goal would not have depleted the moose population, but would have provided more meat to subsistence families. If the goal was not reached, the moose will still be fine.
As far as the biology and the moose population, there's no negative to not reaching that goal. It's just what the herd can support right now when it's still growing.
That growth rate is about 20 to 30% per year. The hunt allows hunters to take 10% of the population. Biologists estimate there are 2,000 moose in Zone 1 along the Kuskokwim main stem and 800 moose in Zone 2 along the tributaries. But those estimates are not as solid as Jones would like. The gold standard for moose counts is to fly an aerial survey and count the moose from an airplane, but that hasn't happened for 2 years because of early snowmelt.
To do a good number, we need a foot of snow to see tracks and see moose, and preferably in late February, early March when we have enough daylight to fly long hours.
This is a growing issue facing biologists across Alaska, and biologists are experimenting with different approaches. In the interior in Togiak, biologists are comparing aerial survey counts to the number of collared moose in an area. Along the Kuskokwim, biologists like Jones are inferring the population numbers using browse surveys. These surveys look at how much of an area's winter food the moose are eating. That information can help.
Luckily, we can go back in time, and we did population counts and browse surveys in the same year, and we can tie those two numbers together pretty well.
Along the Kuskokwim, Fish and Game also does spring twinning counts, looking at the number of cows birthing two calves compared to one. A count in the fall measures how many of those calves survived and the ratio of adult bulls to cows. All the Kuskokwim moose counts indicate a healthy growing population that could double in the coming years. Meanwhile, biologists are also tracking moose populations along the Yukon River in the Unit 18 remainder. The population below Mountainville Village is around 8,000 animals and rapidly growing. However, the population near Russian Mission is declining, dropping to a low of 4,000 animals. Surveys indicate there's not enough food. Fish and Game has attached radio collars to some moose there to track mortality and whether the moose are moving to other areas. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yuktoon coming up.